This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform the Jabba the Musk hates that we continue to call Twitter. Coming up next half hour, we're going to talk about shrinkage. Stop the shrinkage as far as it comes to our bags of snacks and things like that. We'll wrap up the show as we do every day now with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the tortoise edition.
Yeah.
So stick around for that. Right now, though, excited to have our guest join us. Christy Welch is running in Wisconsin's 88th Assembly District. Good morning, Christy. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, Christy, tell us a little bit about your background and why you decided to jump into this race.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm pretty new to the political space. I've never run for office before. This is my first race. And I'm also currently the chair of the Democratic Party of Brown County, which was my term started in January of 23. And prior to that, I was an executive with a manufacturing company and was head of HR for quite a while, spent a lot of time in operations. And so was living my little life. Things were going well. And when Trump got elected in 2016, was concerned about what was happening. And then as the years went on, was kind of simmering that I needed to do more. And then when Roe v. Wade was overturned, and along with it, the commentary by Clarence Thomas that basically invited cases on contraception and gay marriage, then that was it. I decided to take a new path.
That takes a lot of courage. Mm. It does, especially since you have had no experience running for office before. I give you a great deal of credit, even knowing how to put together a campaign. And there are resources there now, though, right, to help newer candidates.
Oh, yes, for sure. And so I'm in one of the districts that they call a targeted district. So it's going to be very close. It's a 50-50 toss up. So yes, I get lots of support, and my competitor also gets lots of support. So there's a lot of mailers and commercials and coming from both sides, right, and from independent expenditure groups. So yeah, there's a lot of activity.
Well, we have been telling folks to, I don't know, I certainly would like people to ignore the polls, because except for a very few that are long established and have been around forever, and we know that that they have some legitimacy.
Yeah.
But we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Christy. Anybody can start a polling company. We can have Stan and Dan's America Integrity Polling, and they only talk to five people, and they throw their results out there, and some far right podcaster picks it up, and then that becomes the common knowledge. So I am encouraging people to avoid the polls as much as possible. When you knock on doors, when you've been out on the ground, Christy, what are you hearing from folks? Is it the economy? Is it the border? Is it abortion?
There's definitely some recurring themes. So the economy, rising costs is a big one for a lot of people, you know, especially for people that fall into the category of where they're renting and they have kids of childcare age. I mean, that is, you know, rent has gone up double digits multiple times since COVID. And so those people are really having a tough time. And, you know, it's caused in a lot of families, if the math doesn't work, then one of the spouses stays home and maybe doesn't necessarily want to do that, you know. And then at the same time, we have employers saying that they need more workers. Yep. So yeah, so costs for sure. From groceries, housing, healthcare, childcare.
And when they bring that up to you, I'm curious what are your suggestions? What would be your plans should you get elected to address some of these issues?
Yeah, so at the state legislature level, we are somewhat limited. You know, hopefully we get more help coming from the federal level. But some of the things that we can do, so as a legislative body, we can bring in companies that we suspect of price gouging and hold hearings. And I suspect that when we start doing that, that a lot of companies will self-correct because no one wants that negative publicity. And, you know, during the pandemic, I get it. The supply chain was disrupted, costs went up,
right.
But there are so many grocery categories where they never came back down. And a lot of those companies are huge conglomerates and there's maybe not enough competition in that space. So they're just, you know, if people continue to pay it because they have to, then they just leave the price there. So we can, like I say, bring in, companies for hearings. We can incentivize on the housing side, we can incentivize the construction of affordable housing, particularly apartments. You know, in so many places in Wisconsin and where I live for sure, we need more supply. In a certain price range, houses go on the market and they sell in a day, you know, way over asking price. It's untenable for people who don't have, you know, the ability to pay over asking price.
Right.
You know, the bank's not going to approve that kind of loan.
Well, and I think the other problem too, especially with the housing market. Now, my husband and I are both in our mid-60s, but the thought of selling our house, because our house is paid off now, where are we going to go?
Yeah.
Where would we go that we're not going to have to take out another mortgage at our age, or even rent? Where could we possibly go and even rent? And then that would open up our house for someone else to get in, you know, to become a first-time home buyer. Mm-hmm. All this stuff is interconnected.
Right. And I think it causes a lot of folks to just stick where they're at.
Yep.
Although, you know, I did talk with a voter the other day that was commenting that when she and her husband were looking to buy their starter home, there were folks that were, you know, retired and looking to downsize. And so they were the ones that were able to make those cash offers, you know, 20,000 above asking price.
Sure.
And so, yeah, but all those things together are, you know, it's not a good situation for the housing market. It just makes it tough to find an affordable place.
When you're, Christy, when you're out on the doors, you know, one thing we've talked about with a lot of candidates is, you know, we're most likely not going to get a knock on the door from a Kamala Harris or a Donald Trump or a Tim Walz. But with these local races, when you knock on their doors, are they, you know, with how they're sharing, because they might not be voting for you or may need some convincing. Are there good conversations that you're having where you feel like you're getting through to them what you're trying to achieve in your for running for office?
Oh, yes, for sure. And, you know, talking with folks that are not necessarily, you know, for sure on my side. a topic that I like to bring up with people, because I'll admit I didn't know this 3 years ago, is the public education funding piece, where, you know, because obviously a vast majority of voters agree that we need well-funded public education. So just, you know, explaining some of the history, and people can go check it out later and see that it is true that over the last 12, 13 years, the amount that the state allocates to each district per student has barely changed.
Yep.
And prior to that, it would somewhat, you know, track with inflation. So it causes districts to have to go to referendum. And
again,
that's why we're seeing so many more referendums, and everyone is noticing that. The last count I heard is there were 128 referendums happening in the state this year. And if you need more money for maintenance, for raises, if you don't want to cut, you know, programs, then that is the only option that you have. And meanwhile, We have a record budget surplus, so it's not like we need to increase taxes. We just need to elect people to the state legislature that agree that fully funding public education is a good priority, and then we can get that budget through. So that's one that I really enjoy bringing up with folks that maybe are not identifying as Democrat.
Yeah. Well, and I think you make a really good point, Christy, in that people don't realize this has been a long campaign to slowly starve our public schools of funding and then continue to fund charter schools and voucher programs and take this money away from our public schools and give it to for-profits.
And we're now funding two school systems.
Essentially, yes, we really are. So, well, that's good. I'm glad that people are recognizing, again, we have money that they're sitting on right now in Madison that the Joint Finance Committee won't release that has been approved for PFAS for this literacy program that's already in the schools and is a state mandated program. Mm-hmm. And they still have not released those monies. I think that really is getting to Wisconsinites. And I think there is more recognition that there does seem to be one group more than another that just doesn't want to spend any money unless they're going to give Diane Hendricks a big tax cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do run into people that they're aware of the gridlock. I don't know that they realize that, you know, with the legislature being currently 65% Republican, it's not gridlock as a result of the two sides not wanting to work together.
Right.
It's gridlock because the majority party doesn't want to pass anything.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah,
it is.
Whether it's they, you know, not making the people who've poisoned the waters take responsibility or giving Tony Evers a win. I mean, every time we've had a surplus and the Republicans get their hands on it, they send it back in the form of like tax breaks that don't really help in the way they want them to. So
Christy Welch is our guest. She is running for the Wisconsin Assembly 88th District. We're to continue our conversation with Christy, so stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 11:30 news, fighting back against shrinkage. Apparently, consumers we're getting fed up, folks. It's only taken, I don't know how many years, but it does seem like some companies are responding to social media shame. So we'll be talking about that after the 11:30 news. If you have a story of consumer shrinkage you would like to share with us, text that in or give us a call at 855-752-4842. Our guest is Christy Welch. She is running in Wisconsin's 88th Assembly District, and just getting to know you a little bit, Christy, and what you're hearing when you knock on doors. Your challenger is Ben Franklin, who is also a first time jumping into politics for the first time. Do you feel that kind of evens the playing field for both of you, Christy? At least there's no incumbent.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It does make for the dynamics are, it's kind of, it's a 50-50 and we're both brand new. So yeah, it's totally up for grabs.
And you really are in a very swingy district. I mean, a really swingy
Yeah.
district. Dan Schaefer has put together this great civic media voter guide that breaks down every single race all across the state. And so the 88th was won by both Governor Evers and Ron Johnson in 2022, and
Right.
Donald Trump at 0.5% in 2020. So it really could go any way.
Right. Yeah, we've been saying from the beginning that it could come down to a couple hundred votes.
And that's why we're really trying to impress upon people. We all think we're a little drop in this ocean, but when we're talking about such small margins, really, really small margins, 2 or 3 votes per district
Yeah.
can be the deciding factor. So please don't think that your vote doesn't count, because it absolutely does, and probably more so this year than ever before.
Right, absolutely. And I mean, so for my district and also statewide, the last election, as you guys probably know, came down to 2 or 3 votes per ward throughout the whole state. So, when people go door knocking and to help make sure that we're turning out the vote and we're engaging with voters, I know sometimes people will say, "Oh, I didn't, not a lot of people were home. I didn't talk with that many people," and feeling like maybe they're not making a difference. But that is literally all we're looking for. And we just need that throughout the whole state, and just 2 or 3 per ward could swing the presidential election, could, mean the difference in my race. So it's pretty crazy.
Are you meeting a lot of folks who have never had a politician knock on their door before?
Yeah, I have run into a couple people that are, pleasantly surprised to see a candidate. So my district is De Pere, Alloway, Bellevue, and a little bit of Rockland, which is the most rural portion of my district, and did some knocking out there. So yeah, some, long driveways, so people are, whoa.
You actually walked all the way up here.
Right.
Well, and don't forget as well, we have 1 weekend to go. There's still canvassing going on. If folks are listening who live in your district, and even if they're not living in your district and they would like to canvass for you, they can certainly do that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is the most important door knocking portion of the election. This is when, I've literally had this happen where we call this GOTV, get out the vote. And when you knock on a door and say, do you have a plan to vote? Oh yeah. I'm gonna vote on election day. Okay, so it's Tuesday, November 5th, and then this person said, "Oh, wait, I'm gonna be out of town." Oops. So just making people like think it
Think
all the
about
way
it.
through, and then he said, "Oh, I need to early vote." So yeah, that's what we're looking for.
Early voting is so convenient, folks.
Yes, it
If you
is.
can, I did it on Friday after work. It took about 30 minutes. It was hassle-free. Boom, boom, boom. The everyone working there was so lovely.
Yeah.
And if you can, go vote early.
Yeah.
Then you know it's done.
Agreed.
Yeah, just in case there's any, and you might come to the realization you're out of town on Tuesday, but also other things happen. Flat tire, get called into work,
You get
kid
sick.
gets sick, kid gets sick, something like that. Just knock it out now. Christy, it's 8 days. What's your campaign looking like over the next 8 days?
Knocking doors,
Yep.
taking care of my mental health.
There you go.
Very important.
I mean, that's, doing some interviews like this, but mostly just as far as the campaign, it's all about just making sure people turn out to vote at this point.
And I think it's also important that folks realize that this election is very likely not going to be decided by midnight on November 5th. just because of it takes time to count millions and millions and millions of ballots all across the country. So I just don't want people to think, I'm going to go to bed and I'm going to know the results. And that's probably not going to be the way that, that it happens.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with the process.
No shenanigans. It's just the process.
Right.
There's a wonderful piece that Channel 12 Upfront did, WISN, over the weekend, where they actually go through the whole ballot drop box process and take you along with them as they collect the ballots and transport the ballots and all of the checks and balances and double checks to make sure that this is handled correctly should give you some confidence in this. Christy Welch, running it for the 88th Assembly District. Good luck, Christy. Thank you so very much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Everybody vote.
Go vote. News is next. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com. Fell down. Well, I put on my shoes and it fell off too. But I looked in the mirror, was nothing to see. That's how it goes when you're a shrinking man like me. Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Jabba the Musk hates that we continue to call Twitter. Coming up to wrap up the show, this shouldn't be a thing, tortoise edition. This one Greg found.
Yeah.
If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us, JaneSays. At civicmedia.us. The same for if you ever have a guest that you think would be good, if you have something going on in your community that's a fundraiser that you'd like us to shine a spotlight on, please let us know. Send it all in to Jane Says at civicmedia.us. This is something that we've heard more about, and I want to say we actually even talked about this last year.
Yeah.
Article in Delish.com.
Pulitzer Prize-winning Delish.
My first time at Delish. Shoppers are bullying food brands over shrinkflation, and it's actually working.
Yeah.
So I was curious about how are we bullying these massive conglomerates, and they're actually responding. Apparently, following months of public outrage on social media about portion sizes, Chipotle has announced it will re-emphasize the importance of its generous portions. Despite claiming there was never a directive to provide less, their vow to do better might be a little admission of, yeah, maybe we did tell you to cut back.
Possibly, but I will say I went to Chipotle recently, and I, of my entire burrito order, and I take it seriously. I'm very finicky with my burrito. But the only thing I asked for extra of was a little bit of beans, and they had a double wrap it, which says to me in the beginning of this whole burrito excursion, there's
They were shorting you on beans.
No, they weren't shorting me on beans. I just asked for a little bit more, that everything else they gave me was fine. Because it was, with those extra beans, it was so big.
Wow.
It didn't need another, tortilla.
Wow.
So I'm not going to look at Chipotle.
Apparently the public outrage has worked. Because Chipotle is stepping up again. PepsiCo is downright admitting to shrinkflation and making a real change as a result of public outcry. A representative for PepsiCo told Today the company is adding 20% more chips to bonus bags of Ruffles and Tostitos and won't be changing the price.
No. Well, they might not be changing the price. That doesn't mean grocery stores won't change the price. And also, not bonus bags, all bags.
Yeah, what is with this only in the bonus bags thing?
Yeah.
Pepsi replaced 32-ounce Gatorade with 28 ounces for the same price. Nabisco shrank the family size box of Wheat Thins by 12%. General Mills shrank the family size box of Cocoa Puffs, cuckoo, by 6%. And Frito-Lay shrank the size of a bag of Doritos by 5%, according to former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich. Shrinkflation is everywhere.
It's everywhere. And when you, something as a Gatorade enthusiast, the price has not stayed the same. It, in fact, has gone up.
And Gatorade, you're getting less.
Gatorade is nearly $3 a bottle.
For flavored water.
For delicious, colorful flavored water, Jane.
I stand corrected.
But that's the thing is when we talk about the economy, and we understand that no matter what we say with regard to stock markets, job inflation, inflation, gas prices, all that doesn't change the fact that groceries are expensive, childcare is expensive, buying a home is expensive. All those things are real and tangible, and we get that. But when we look at things like shrinkflation and shrinkage, and we're being a little tongue-in-cheek with it, but there's a serious matter at play, is that corporate America is turning our gaze towards the government, saying, and we're saying, the government, it's so expensive. That's the Joe Biden does not decide the price of Gatorade.
No.
Joe Biden does not decide the price and does not call up Nabisco and say, make less Wheat Thins. These are companies making very pointed, very serious decisions that affect us, the consumer. And if you want to, I mean, good on them for admitting it, but they still did it anyways. Kroger admitted to price gouging over the price of inflation because they can.
Because they could.
Because a lot of those products we need. Amazon, Walgreens, Walmart. Yes, all Target as well, all said, we're cutting the prices on thousands of items because they realized they were getting caught in this price gouging, price increase in the face of shrinkflation where we're getting less.
And let's not forget, corporate profits are doing just fine.
Yes.
They're doing dandy.
Look at the stock market. They're
They're in a sweet spot. They don't need to be ripping us off by five chips a bag.
No.
John from Hubertus texting in, I'm 71. I always ate healthy and exercised. I love Fritos.
Yeah.
But I haven't eaten them for over 20 years. A couple of months ago, I bought a bag and did the math. Fritos now cost over $9 a pound.
That's like gold. Like
it shouldn't be so hard to put these people out of business. Seriously.
You came into the station one day with a bag of Gardetto special requests.
Garlic
chips. Rye chips. Yeah. Yep. Amazing. The only thing worth eating in that whole.
Truly.
That whole bouquet. And sealed, it was less than half full.
Yeah, it's all air.
And it is expensive. It's like $6 a bag for those. Now, granted, you can say you don't need to eat them. I get that. But for $6 a bag, that's less than a box of cereal. And you're getting more for cereal than you are for a bag of chips.
There's a guy quoted in this article who opened up his Doritos bag. There were five chips in there. Five.
Yeah. I do not. Corporation's going to corporation. They're going to find a way to give us the fuzzy end of the lollipop to increase their bottom line. But it goes back for me that once again, do not look at the government as the, and this is, I don't care who's sitting in the big chair either. Republican, Democrat, Independent. They're not the reason why we're paying more at the grocery stores. It's the grocery stores. It's the companies making these decisions. Private businesses making these decisions to set prices because they know we have to pay them for certain things like the toothpaste and shampoo and soap and just those necessary goods in our lives.
Another text coming in. Shrinkage. A few months ago, I bought a 2-pound can of coffee. I opened it and it was not filled to the top. I looked at the label. It was 1 pound and 14 ounces in a 2-pound can. That's terrible. Oops. We just forgot to fill it all the way up.
Oopsie doodles. All right, cool. Can I have a free can of coffee or some money back or
something? Gary from Tosa listening on WMDX. As for shrinkage, my toilet paper rolls got narrower. I used to only be able to stack 2 on my shelf. Now I can fit 3. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we just need to do more public shaming. Because according to this article in Delish, that's actually has companies responding now because they're getting embarrassed.
Yeah.
They're getting embarrassed on TikTok and Instagram. People opening up their Doritos bags or Fritos bags or Tostitos bags. If we do this enough, maybe they will start lowering prices.
What would you think would happen? And this is a very old reference to a movie called Mr. Mom, where the president of the company got on television. They had a commercial where he said, "We understand it's tough for Americans, so we're going to lower the price of our product for now. And once we're back where we need to be as a country, we'll put the prices back where they used to be." What would happen if the president and CEO of PepsiCo said, "Hey, we know things are tough for you, but we know you enjoy our product. Here is what we're going to do as a company to help you, the American citizens." Do you think that maybe, say, their profits wouldn't go through the roof because not only are they going to give you just a little bit more, but also they recognize the struggle and say they're with you on it? Do you think that would help them versus what they're doing now?
But then you have to risk, then you risk ticking off your stockholders.
But if the money, but if they give it a, but my point is if they make more money, let's say they give it a 1-quarter test, they do it for 1 quarter. If the price, if the, you know, money goes through the roof and they're making more money because of this, the stockholders are going to be just fine.
That's a good point.
So
Scott from Madison listening on WMDX, these are vendor managed categories. The store won't be lowering the price for a bag of potato chips like $5. Just stop buying them. Scott, I mean, I understand I don't need a bag of Fritos either,
no.
But I still like the idea of embarrassing them on social media, embarrassing some of these massive corporations.
Yeah.
I'm not saying be vile.
No.
I'm just saying be accurate.
We are the consumers. We're the ones buying. We have the ability. We have a voice. Say what you like about Twitter, and we can say a lot about Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
But we put it out there to the world, and they will listen when they are pushed hard enough.
If they're pushed hard enough.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it, though. Tom from LA, the one thing the government could do is break up the monopolies.
They can do that.
They can do that. It doesn't seem to happen very often.
Unfortunately, the monopolies are writing the laws. Sorry.
And giving big campaign donations.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't disagree with you, Tom. I think that would be a beautiful thing, but right now, let's work with what we can do, which is get on social media.
Take some pictures of your Doritos bag.
I was going to say, we should have picked one for today, but we can do that another time. Just, you know, you're on the chopping block.
Again, according to this article in Delish, shrinkflation is everywhere. Doritos removed 5 chips per bag. Bounty trimmed its rolls by 3 sheets. And Wheat Thins determined that family size, is 2 ounces smaller as it was before, but for the same price.
Of course it is. John from West Bend, he said, "Remember the movie Mr. Mom where Terry Garr's character talked to the tuna company into reducing?" That's exactly what I was referring to. It was the 1983 film Mr. Mom.
I remember.
I personally feel like if a company, this is totally in the bottom line, I don't think they care about us. But if they feigned it even and said, "Hey, we're with you, wave a flag, Pepsi is life, but we're going to help you," that goes a long way versus what these companies are getting caught doing.
It would, well, if you're looking for some decent PR, that wouldn't be a bad way to go about it.
Yes. And corporate folks, don't worry. You don't have to grow a heart and care about the common folk.
And you're still going to be really, 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 really rich.
You will be the first ones to colonize Mars and get away from the unwashed. It's fine. We'll take our bags of chips properly filled.
Andrew from Maine on a live stream. Don't forget how the price of consumer goods like Gatorade dropped in 2018 when the corporate tax cuts went into effect.
I should just learn how to make my own Gatorade and my own potato chips.
And my own everything.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're going to start making our own cloth soon.
I built my own car. It's on fire currently.
Well, there's a way to fight back.
Yeah. It works. This is working.
Embarrass them on social media for charging us the same amount of money for a whole lot less.
There it is.
Do it today. Don't wait. All right. When we return, this shouldn't be a thing, tortoise edition. Mm. You are listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to across the vast, statewide, countrywide, global, on the app, Civic Media Radio Network.
Cause a thinking man's gotta eat right sometime. I don't need much and I don't pay no starvation wage to poor folks out on a poison ground. You don't rob the land. Oh, when you're just that little old shrinking man. Thinking man, nobody wants. Shrinking man ain't gonna be here long. Well, sometimes I worry about prayer. Oh, the shrinking man better be a praying man. Once I had a dream I was working. I had good ideas, I made big plans. I'm just like a leaf in the wind that's blowing. I hope King Jesus can understand. Shrinking man.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Early voting is underway in Wisconsin. You can vote through November 3rd, which is next Sunday.
Check to make sure that you can.
Check to make sure you can. Go to civicmedia.us/vote. Civicmedia.us/vote. If you have any questions about what's happening in your area, the maps have changed, you want to make sure you know who's going to be on your ballot, you can pull up a sample ballot at myvote.wi.gov. But get in and vote early if you can.
Yeah,
I did it on Friday. It was a piece of cake. It took me 30 minutes. People were very nice. Don't do like the thing I saw over the weekend. It didn't specify where this happened, but there were photos of this woman who's older than me, and I'm 64.
Yeah.
I'm assuming she was into her early 70s. She showed up at her polling place with a campaign shirt on. You can't do that. It doesn't matter who it's for.
It depends on the state. Yes, it does.
It does.
Because I looked it up because I've seen some videos already. Make sure your state, you know what your state rules are. You can't, some states have it where you can't wear any sort of paraphernalia whatsoever.
Right.
Some states have it where they don't care. Some states have it you can't have literature in your hand or electioneering.
It's called electioneering. In this instance, there were signs up at this polling place saying you cannot wear campaign materials. It just said it right there. And this elderly woman took issue with that and called one of the election workers a blankhead. And then she ripped off her shirt and stood in line in her bra and voted in her bra. And at one point she told another election worker, suck my, I'm not even going to say it.
It's not even close.
This is why I'm voting for Trump.
Yeah.
Is what she said.
Blech.
So I don't know. I would avoid that.
Only the best people.
I would avoid that if I were you, and maybe just don't wear any election stuff. If you're going to go vote, it's just easier that way.
Jane, maybe we're not just getting the joke, though. Maybe they're just making fun of us.
Okay. Oh, we took the bait.
We took the bait. Oh, we're idiots,
we took
Calvin.
The bait again.
We're idiots.
All right. It's 11:54, Calvin. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it into Greg and me. Jane says, at civicmedia.us, this is the headline... Woman pleads guilty to trying to smuggle 29 turtles across a lake in Vermont into Canada by kayak. A woman from China pleading guilty a couple weeks ago, trying to smuggle 29 eastern box turtles, which are a protected species, across a lake in Vermont into Canada. Wang Yi Ning, 41, arrested in June at an Airbnb. Just as she was about to get into an inflatable kayak with a duffel bag on Lake Wallace. Border Patrol agents had been notified by the Canadian Mounted Police that two other people, including a man believed to be this woman's husband, started paddling the inflatable watercraft from the Canadian side of the lake toward the U.S. The agents searched her heavy duffel bag and found 29 live eastern box turtles individually wrapped in socks. Is that their natural habitat?
They're little sleeping bags, Jane. They're
little turtle sleeping bags?
Itty bitty sleeping bags.
Eastern box turtles are known to be sold on the black market for $1,000 each.
Why?
I don't know. Her cell phone was taken. A search found communications. She was trying to get the turtles into Canada so they could eventually be sold in Hong Kong.
So they could vote illegally in November.
Stop box turtles from voting. Stop it now. She is sentenced to be sentenced in December, rather. She's facing 10 years in prison.
When don't mess with protected animals,
and
dude.
And a fine up to $250,000.
You are smuggling a protected species across international waters?
Yeah, not good.
For black market sales? Come on.
Now, I don't think I had, when I was a kid, we had turtles.
Yeah.
A lot of people my age probably had little turtles. Turtles are boring. If you're going to have them as a pet. I don't know if they were planning to eat these eastern box turtles or if they wanted them as pets. But turtles don't, they're just not a scintillating pet.
But they're a good starter pet for kids. They're cute. You feed them. You can look at them. You can pet them, and there's not a high risk. They live a long time.
I thought we couldn't even keep those same kind of turtles anymore because of illness issues.
I have no idea.
I'm sure someone will tell us.
I found a turtle once on the side of the road, and I took it into the car. My mom wasn't happy about that, and then it peed all over the car.
Lovely.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Leave them alone. Leave turtles alone.
Don't do this. This shouldn't happen. Calvin, that is today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up tomorrow, Pat Kreitlow will be joining us from 10:30 until 11 o'clock to talk all things in the news. Mary Hayes, really looking forward to having her back. She's with the Shequamagon Democrats covering Bayfield and Ashland counties.
Nice.
And I want to find out if she concreted her Harris Wall sign into the ground and if they managed to steal yet another one.
And we'll find out why Tom Tiffany isn't about the people.
That's all on the way tomorrow. News is coming up next, followed by Todd Alba. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. Thank you, most of all, for calling and texting and listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.